Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Do you understand? Everybody's attention for just a moment. Do you understand that God loves you? I mean, really, really, really loves you. You think of the person in this life that you love, you know, the most. You think of what you would do for that person. You think of how that person makes you feel inside. And then you consider God. And you multiply that feeling you have by 100,000. That's how much God loves you. I mean, He really, really loves you. Would you stand with me as we read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your great love wherein You have loved us. And today, Lord, we don't want to take that love for granted. So often, Lord, we just live this life without giving Your love a second thought. Today we want to praise You for Your love. We want to thank You because You did love us first, and because You did set the example of love and show us what it means to love. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone present today will experience the great love that You have for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Man, love. What a big deal. Love. And we talk about, or John writes in the text, by this we know God, if we love one another. How do you develop this kind of love? I can preach it to you all day long, and you can preach it me all day long, how we should love one another. But I want to tell you what, you cannot generate that within yourself. Okay? I can pretend for a certain amount of time, but I cannot generate the authenticity of a love that John is talking about here. This kind of love comes from God. And the only way that you can have this kind of love is a knowledge of God. The more you know God, the more that you will learn how to love. As a matter of fact, the word know that's used in the text, as it says know, it means to learn to know. So the idea is the more you learn to know God, the more you will learn to love. Verse 7 actually says everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, or has learned to know God. Everyone that loves, you're learning to know, or you have learned to know what God is all about. Oh, listen, God's not all about religion. God's not all about ceremony. He's all about love. And so if we're going to learn this love, we're going to have to learn it from God and our knowledge of God. And we're going to start with God's demonstration of love. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, or has learned to know God. He who does not love does not know God, or has not learned to know God, for God is love." That word love, as it's used in this text, is not a feeling. And I've said that I don't know how many times in the study of the book of John, because he repeatedly uses this word. But that word love literally means to prove your love or to show your love. It's a special love. As a matter of fact, in this text, it talks about the love. And oftentimes that the definite article there is left out. But he's talking about the love, a God kind of love. A love that proves itself. You see, God didn't just say, "I love you." Okay? God did not just say, "I love you." Oh, I realize it's in the Bible. God so loved the world. I get that. But He didn't leave it there. God proved or showed His love toward us. He proved that love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, or the means by which we could obtain forgiveness. It's one thing to say, "I love you," but quite honestly, talk is very cheap. God's not a talker. God is a doer. When He says, "I love you," He goes above and beyond and He shows you His love. John 3:16 shows us the sacrificial love of God. And this is what we want to get. We want to understand God's viewpoint of love. God's love is sacrificial. John 3:16 is, "For God so loved," He loved the world so much. That's you. You're the world. Okay? God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's love. He loved you that much. God's love is not only sacrificial. God's love is faithful. Hebrews 3:15 says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, how many of you have been fighting spiritual battles? How many of you have ever fought spiritual battles? You know what's great about fighting spiritual battles? We're not fighting alone, because God says, "I love you and I'm right by your side." You know, we may not escape the bumps and the bruises and the scars of this life, but I promise you this, we never go through it alone, because God loves you. God's love is visible. You can see it. How can you see it? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I can say, "I love you." I can look you in the eye and I can say, "I love you." But somewhere along the way, you're going to expect me to back it up. Amen? I mean, naturally. When God says, "I love you," He backed it up. God's love is never changing. Oh, listen, you know that you will never lose the love of God. Never. As His child, I love Romans 3:38, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. God loves you, and there's nothing anyone or anything can do about it. That's our God. And that's the first lesson we've got to learn. That's what love looks like. It's a demonstration. It's not just a word. It's not a feeling. It is a demonstration. Let me ask you this. Do you tell your spouse, I love you? Three people do. Do you tell your spouse, I love you? I love you, darling. I'm public with it, okay? What if you could never tell people, I love you? What if that phrase was entirely removed from your vocabulary? I say I love you to Beth all the time. I tell you, you know, quite often during preaching, after preaching, I say I love you. But what if that phrase was removed so that you could not say that? And I'm not telling you don't say it. Say, I love you, okay? Okay. But what if that phrase was removed? Would the people around you know? Could they know beyond a shadow of a doubt by your actions, by your life, because you have demonstrated that love for them so that they would never have to question, does he really love me or does she really love me? Listen, that's the kind of love that God has for you and that we should have for one another. When you start understanding that it's not just a word with God, then you start realizing, hey, this is who I'm supposed to be. God's love is a demonstration. Number two, God's love is a revelation. John, in the text, verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. And I love that because that just seems kind of out of the... Why did he throw that in here? Right in the middle of talking about what great love God has, why would he just say, no one has ever seen God at any time? It's kind of a strange place for that to be. Well, I want you to know... A lot of people have just said, well, that just means that nobody has ever come face to face with God. And that is true, but that's not the point there. Okay? That's not the point there. It says no one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. As I said, the point is not that no one has ever seen God in all His glory, even though that's a true statement. But the point to this statement is, and it's as though I would ask you, how can anyone know God if no one has ever seen Him? That's why that statement was put in there. You know, people ask you all the time, do you know so-and-so? Well, I know of him, but I've never seen him. So, you know, no, I don't really know him. Now, if you ask me, do I know Bella? Yes, I live with her, married to her. I know her. If you ask me if I know Brother Michael Weatherford, yes, I work with him on a daily basis. I see him, I know him, I can tell you about him. But how can you know God? How will the world know God in whom they have never put their eyes on? Well, it says, verse 12, the last line is, and His love has been perfected in us. That word, as it's used there in that verse, it means to be accomplished or brought to completion. You know what that means? He's saying, God, nobody has ever seen God, but the love of God has been accomplished or completed in us. And the idea is that we love to the point that others can see God by the love that flows through us. That's that point. Okay? He's not just saying you can't see God. He's saying, here's how you see God. You see God by looking at the love that should abide in His saints. If others do not see the love of God living in us, the world will likely never see God. See, we're instruments of God's revelation to the world of what God really looks like. Can people see God in your love? Are you demonstrating that love? You know, people say all the time, oh, I love my church. Do you really? What are you doing to show that love? You see, that's where serving comes in. That's where teaching comes in. That's where ministering comes in within the church, you know? And have you ever heard people say, oh, I love victory? Have you ever heard people make that statement? I say it all the time. Have you ever made that statement? I love victory. Obviously, nobody loves victory. You say, no, brother, you're setting me up. I'm not raising my hand. No, here we go, okay? In all seriousness, we can say I love victory. But how is that love manifested or displayed within victory? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to minister to others? Are you willing to love others? See, most people have the idea that, you know, well, we're not fighting, so we're okay. No, the question is not, are we fighting, but rather, are we loving? You've heard people say, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Well, I'll take it a step farther. You are the only love of God that some people will ever see. That's who we are. God loves you so much. And He has shown you, He has demonstrated that love. And His goal, that if you are a child of God, His goal is to reveal that love through you to the world. By the love, they say. I appreciate John 13:35, where Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay? Not just talking about not fighting. He's talking about demonstrating and showing your love. Because the world is watching. Are you demonstrating that love within the church family? So that everybody says, hey, boy, that guy's special. There is a love residing within him that's got to come from God, because that's not natural. That's the idea. That's the idea. God's love is not only demonstrated plainly, God's love is designed to be revealed through us. And then finally, God's love is consummated. We see the consummation of God's love here. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because He is. Because as He is, so are we. God's love is completed in us. And it doesn't just stop with our display to the world of God's love flowing through us. It has an effect on us. It changes us inside. Are you changed because you know God? I certainly hope so. Because once you begin to understand that love, it begins to change you. And what He's saying here is something has happened within the life of the child of God, of the believer. And so that we now have, how did He put it? Boldness in the day of judgment. I like the translation. I guess it's my translation. It's assurance. So that we have assurance in the day of judgment. You know what's great about the love of God? When you begin to realize that God demonstrated His love for us so much so that He gave His Son.
And that son died a horrible and cruel death upon the cross of Calvary. That was him taking your punishment because you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not worthy of such love, but God loved you so much he gave his son so that you could have eternal life. And you know what? Something happens on the inside to the believer. That when you call upon Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord of your life, there is a peace that can't be explained but cannot be gained any other way. It does something inside. And the reason it does is because you know where you're going. And so with that in mind, we may have assurance in the day of judgment. Beloved, there's coming a day of judgment. A day when the wrath of God will be indeed poured out upon this world and judgment will be passed upon the sinners and the Christ rejecters of this world. But you know what? That doesn't scare me. And do you know why? Because according to the Word of God, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Folks, you see, I know what Jesus has done for me. I'm not saying I want to die, and I'm certainly not going to jump off a cliff and anything like that. But you know what? When I consider the judgment day, I know I don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus Christ and His sacrifice has taken away my sin and He's given me His righteousness so that I can stand before a holy God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My friend, that's love. That's love. Do you have that assurance? Verse 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." I've heard people use that verse. It kind of makes me smile now. And think, well, I'm afraid, so I don't love enough. It's not talking about your love. It's talking about the love of the Father, the Heavenly Father. You see, when you realize and when you receive the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and you receive that forgiveness, you begin to realize, I don't have to be afraid. You know, the world talks about how things are in chaos, and I've heard people say, oh, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, pardon the phrase. No, it's not. This world is headed according to the plan of God that was established from the very beginning. Things are not out of control. All is not lost. All is just on course. You see, as the child of God, we know how it's going to end. And there is a peace in that you cannot get anywhere else. Oh, I might not know the details of tomorrow, but I know the God of tomorrow. And John, and you see, in this love of God, you begin to realize that you have that assurance. And today, I want to tell you, there is coming a judgment day, a day of wrath. Wait a minute, Brother Doug. You said a while ago, God is love. He is love. That's why He sent His Son, so that you could be delivered from His wrath, so that you would not face punishment, eternal punishment. But make no mistake, there is coming a judgment. A day of wrath when God's wrath is poured out upon this world, that men will literally cry out for the mountains to fall upon them and the rocks to cover them up from the great and mighty wrath of Almighty God. That doesn't scare me. You know why? Because I'm not a child of wrath. I am not appointed to the wrath of God. I have peace. I have assurance. That perfect love of God assures me that my sin debt has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that assurance in Jesus Christ? Oh, listen, I don't, you know. What we're going to discover is you can reject love. Do you know that? You can reject love. Oh, listen, you know, back when Beth and I were dating and I would do those special things to gain her love, till finally we come to the point where we started to talk about marriage, and you know, Beth could have rejected me at any time, said, "I'm not marrying you." Too late for her now, right? Well, in the same way, you can reject the love of God. God gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. And you can sit here today and say, "No, I don't want it." God has given you time and told you of your need of repentance. And you can sit here today and say, "It's my life. I'll do what I want to with it." And God has not even brought about the end. And you know the end's coming. But you know why God hadn't brought about the end yet? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's you. You want to know why things haven't already terminated yet? Because God doesn't want you to perish. And after all that displays of love, you can back up and you say, "No, I don't want any of it." But if you do, listen to me and listen to me good. Everybody on this floor, everybody in the balcony, you know this. If you reject the love of God, you will burn in hell for eternity. Oh, Brother Doug, don't try your scare tactics on me. It's not a scare tactic. There's only one or two places to spend eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Where are you going to spend eternity? God offers His love to you. He says, "Here, can't you see how much I love you? Can't you see I've given you my all?" Don't turn Him away. Don't reject the love of God. Our Father in heaven, today as we come to the close of this service, I pray that everyone present, everyone will realize the great love that You have for them. Sometimes, Lord, we as Christians, we as believers, we need to be reminded. Because these things that are going on around us and the situations and circumstances we find ourselves in this life, we need to be reminded that we truly are loved by You. So, Lord, I thank You for that. But we also need to be reminded that Your love is to live through us and to be a demonstration to the world of Your great love. Help us, Lord, to live so that the world will realize and experience Your love. And now as we come to this invitation, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.